You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week 2 of our sermon series, Cut It Out, Creating Space for God. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
I discovered a fascinating and some bit of alarming set of research this past week. I was actually watching just a portion of a TED Talk that I saw online, and the presenter was sharing findings of some research that was done by a group called Common Sense Org. And this TED Talk presenter displayed a chart that represented the remaining months of the average 18-year-old's life, assuming optimistically a 90-year lifespan. And I created that chart so that you could see it on the side screens today. Each row from left to right is 36 units, which represents 36 months or 3 years. The study done by Common Sense Org reported that 1/3 of the average 18-year-old's remaining time will be spent sleeping. Okay, everyone with an 18-year-old in the house just automatically is in agreement with everything that this study now has to say. Okay, it went on to say that 126 months would be devoted to either school or career. 18 months, they found on average, would be spent driving. 36 months would be spent either cooking or eating. Another 36 months would be spent doing chores or running errands. And now everyone with an 18-year-old in the house is growing suspicious of this report because they're going, my 18-year-old doesn't do any chores around the house. That's just a joke. Teenagers don't hate me, okay? The study also reported that 27 months would be spent in the bathroom or, you know, pertaining to just, you know, personal hygiene kind of matters. And that leaves 334 remaining months. That's the fascinating part, just to see how all this breaks down. Here was kind of the alarming part for me. The research showed that the average 18-year-old is on pace to spend 93% of the remaining months on a screen. Okay, now I'll be honest with you. I don't know the exact makeup of you know, of this study. I can't promise you that the results were like extremely precise. I don't know how they, you know, compiled all of the data. And you, I don't know, maybe you have questions or you might be skeptical about the results or, you know, how it's presented or how many of these activities overlap, and all that's fair if you've got some questions rolling around in your head like this. But regardless of the specifics of this study or any other questions you might have, here's what I think we can all be in agreement about. We spend far too much time online and on social media, I would say, in particular. And I would add that it's not just the average 18-year-old as the study focused on. That's not the focus of my message today, right? It's all of us, because I think this is all of us. I'll be real honest and start with me. I hate how much time I spend scrolling online, and yet I can't seem to stop. Okay, my wife Erica and I will constantly admit to each other that it is a goal of ours to quit spending so much time online and on social media. And yet all it seems to take is one click, one notification, one funny video, one headline, one news story, and the scroll is on and the next 30 minutes are gone. Okay, can any of you relate, or is it just me and Erica? Okay, good. Some hands are going up. It's not just us. I didn't think so because as I have been talking to people over the past few weeks, I've been trying to learn. I've been asking very specific questions. I've been trying to learn what others would say are some of the biggest distractions, or what are some of the biggest obstacles to faith and spiritual life? And social media, what was an answer that I kept hearing over and over and over again. And so that's gonna be the focus of my message today in the second week in our series, Cut It Out. You see, January is often a time of year when we cut out all of the food and all of the habits and all of the activities that prevent us, you know, from living the healthy, you know, physical life that we desire. And that's great. It's a great way to start the new year. And all I would suggest to you today is that we should also take the same approach when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our spiritual life. I want us to get serious about taking some strides forward and about making some progress when it comes to developing and deepening our faith. And so throughout this series, we're gonna talk about some of the things that I think we need to cut out of our lives so that there is more space for God and the things of God. And today, I want us to be talking about these, and I want us to be talking about these and how much we use them and what we use them for. Now, before I go any further, I also just want to make sure that I go on record to say that I don't think that social media is inherently bad. Okay, there is a lot of good that comes from this kind of technology, and we live at a time when there's so much creativity and so much ingenuity and so much innovation that some of you even make a living in these kind of online spaces. That's amazing, and I'm not saying that social media is bad and that you gotta, you know, give up ever spending time on the internet. I'm not saying that you can't follow Jesus and follow your friends on Facebook. But what I do want to do today is to try to figure out, to try to answer the question, what does God's word say to us about social media? That's the question I want to try to answer today. What does God's word say to us today about social media? Here's the quick answer. Nothing. We'll see you next week. You guys stay. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm not done yet. Sorry to disappoint you. Some of the husbands are like, dang, I like this church. Shortest sermons ever, okay? I promise not to go too long today, but I'm not done yet. Here's what we have to understand. God's word, that's the Bible. It's what we call scripture. It's the Old and the New Testament. This stuff was written thousands of years ago, well before the invention of the internet or Instagram or cell phones or the telephone, well before the invention of like the stapler, right? Thousands of years before all this stuff. But while scripture may not have anything to say specifically about the technological world that we live in, it does have plenty to say about how we engage as Jesus followers in whatever world it is that we live. The Message translation of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this. It says, every part of scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful one way or another for showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. So Midcurrent, here's what I want to suggest to you today as we get started. God's word doesn't say anything to us about social media, but what it does say to us should make us think twice about how we use social media. Let me say that again. So I want to understand this. God's word doesn't say anything about social media, written thousands of years before anybody even thought this was going to be a thing. Doesn't say anything to us about social media, but what it does say to us, it should make us think twice about how we use social media. And there's really three dangers that I wanna talk about, that I wanna alert all of us to here today. There's probably more that I could talk about than just the three that I'm gonna talk about. By now, I think A lot of us are aware of some of the other dangers. I think a lot of us are now becoming aware of how social media fuels our comparison of one another. We talked all about comparison in week one of our series last week. I think by now a lot of us know that far too often we're comparing the behind the scenes moments of our life to everybody else's highlight reel. And that comparison is just not even a fair exchange. I think we know that by now. I think a lot of us are aware now, as we learn more about social media, we're aware now that social media sites are playing us. They're just building their algorithms to keep us coming back, right? So there's plenty of things to be concerned about out there. But all I want to do today is talk about three in particular because of the harm that I think that they could be causing to us in a way that we maybe didn't even know. So I want to talk about three cautions, three dangers today. Here's the first. It's what I'll call crisis overload. Okay. As much as I wish I was smart enough to have kind of identified this on my own, I'm not that smart. Okay. This is something that people are starting to pay attention to. In fact, I was looking around this week. Some people have actually given it a name itself. Some people are calling it headline anxiety. The reality is, because of the internet and social media, which more and more studies show that that's where people get their news today. Because of the internet, because of social media, we are now introduced to more problems in the world more often and more instantaneously than at any other time in history. Okay, right in our pocket, we have instant access to the saddest news in every single corner of the planet at any given moment. And I'm not suggesting that we would flip off the compassion switch in our heart. I'm not suggesting that we just block that stuff out. I'm not suggesting that we just no longer care about the tragic things in the world. But what I am wondering, what I am suggesting is that maybe our hearts were not necessarily meant to handle all of it. The book of Ecclesiastes, actually, in chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. You can see it on the side screens. It says, "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." Okay, it was King David's son Solomon who wrote this about his time as king of Israel. And Solomon actually made it his goal to learn about, and I quote, "everything under the sun," he said. All wisdom, all understanding, even all of the madness and folly, as he wrote in one verse. He wanted to have an understanding of it all. And eventually he did. And this was his conclusion. He's going, I'm not sure knowing everything is a good idea. I'm not sure knowing everything was worth it. He says, the more I knew, the more I hurt. And it's possible that the same is true for us. You see, there was a time when we really only knew about the tragedies in our own communities and then a handful of the major tragedies in the world. Today, in a matter of 5 minutes, we can become aware of one horrific war in one country and an earthquake or a devastating flood in another. We've become aware of a tragic story of a missing child in some part of the world and then, you know, some horrific murder in another. In just a matter of seconds now, we are aware of every death, every bullet that is fired, every protest, every injustice, every lie, every robbery, every like high profile breakup, every car crash. Right? In seconds, we know about it all. And friends, I'm just not sure that we were designed for it. I'm not sure that it's good for us to be aware of every tragedy in the world, because the more we know, the more we hurt. I'm just not sure that we were meant to carry the burdens of the entire world or to carry the burdens of an entire nation as much as we were meant to carry the burdens of our neighborhood, right? It's possible that we are suffering from crisis overload or from headline anxiety and we don't even know it. Right? Too often today we think like, oh man, the world is just becoming such a horrible place. And I'm not arguing for the fact that it's not a tough place, but sometimes I just go, I don't know. I think we just know more about, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying it's all roses out there. There's bad stuff happening. But sometimes I'm going, I don't know if it's any worse than it was 10 or 15 years ago. We just know about it all now. And so if it's possible that we might just be suffering from headline anxiety, if it's possible that we are just experiencing crisis overload in a way that we were not designed to experience at all, if it's possible that that's true, it might be worth reevaluating the time we spend online. Might be worth reevaluating the news sites that we constantly check or that we let fill our news feed. It could be causing crisis overload. That's the first danger. Here's the second danger that I think we need to be aware of. Antisocial relationships. Okay? What's ironic about social media is that it can oftentimes sabotage our social life. Okay? The more we connect online and the more we spend time engaging with people across the planet, the less time we actually spend present with the people in our everyday life across the room or across the street from us. Okay? Too many people are losing their ability or their interest. I don't know. Either way, too many people are losing their ability to converse with people face to face or to even see its value any longer. Now, let me be clear once again. I have no problems at all with this type of connectivity. I have no problems keeping up with friends and family online. This is one of the really cool things about social media. And I'm cool with online dating, right? I know some amazing couples who have met online. Technology allows for some amazing ways for us to connect with one another. But my fear is that society is moving more and more and more towards social isolation. My fear is that we're replacing real, you know, genuine connection with people in our everyday lives, with relationships and connections online. We're replacing it with likes and with follows and emojis and with comment threads online. And while the writers, the authors of the books of the Bible, while they had probably not even the slightest concept of social media and the you know, had no ability to even comprehend the connections with people far, far away, they seemed to understand what kind of relationships we would need most. Here's what's written in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10. It says this, "Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who's far away. I'll be honest, that's a challenging statement. That's a challenging piece of truth for me. Most of my best friends, one of whom is actually my brother, live hundreds of miles away. None of them even live in the state of Wisconsin. And most days I'll tell you, that's all I need. I'm good, I got my guys. But when I read the wisdom from God's word, sometimes I start to think twice. And I wonder if there are others who need to think twice. I wonder if you need to think twice about how and where you get the support and where you get the encouragement and where you get the interaction and the connection with someone else that you really need. If 2024 is going to be the year that you create more space for God and more space for the things of God and more space for the voice of God, maybe the people of God, then I wonder if it will require some of you to make a new commitment to a friendship or to regular connection with someone who is near in your hometown, in your neighborhood, in your everyday life. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's the parents who are sitting on the, you know, soccer sidelines with you. Maybe it's a family a few rows over at church. What if the person that you needed to support you and encourage you, what if the person that you needed to mentor you or to invest into you, what if that person was a whole lot closer than you think? What if the person that God would use to change the trajectory of your life was already in your everyday life? If you would only open yourself up and invite them in. Could change everything. Could change everything. That's number two, antisocial relationships. Here's number three, the next on the list of the dangers that I see in social media. Hear me out on this one. It's what I call indecent exposure. Now, it's not necessarily what you think I might be talking about, but here's what I do think. I think that social media has the potential to expose us to a whole bunch of indecent and inappropriate and unhealthy content. In my opinion, it's kind of like a gateway activity. You ever heard of a gateway drug before? They used to say that maybe that marijuana, they'd say, was a gateway drug because once you started with it, it would just lead you then to the next, you know, more serious or more dangerous kind of drug. So they called it a gateway drug because of what it would lead to. I think social media, I think it can be the same. I think it can work in the same way, right? You can start in one place in what might even be kind of an innocent place, but it can quickly lead you to a whole host of indecent and unhealthy and destructive places. And the problem is you may not even realize it. See, I think too many people today, they judge their decisions, I think in all of life, but certainly when it comes to some of these online spaces, I think too many people today, they judge their decisions by their intent, not by the impact. Too many people, they judge the decisions that they make by their intent in making that decision, not by the impact that that decision actually, you know, makes in their life. And so when someone stumbles upon some kind of, you know, questionable, you know, content or unhealthy online activity, whether it's just really kind of ugly gossip or whether it's like divisive, like political conversation or really unhealthy judgment of someone, or maybe it's like pornography or you're something close, some kind of, you know, questionable content. Too often, I think people are thinking to themselves like, well, I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. Too many people going, it wasn't Playboy. It was just Instagram. Right? I didn't mean to. I was just Instagram. I thought Instagram was okay. I thought that was allowed. I thought that was okay for me. And the reality is, it is okay. As long as we are, as long as you are evaluating the impact that it has on your life, not just the intent you had when using it. Right? That stuff's fine. We just have to evaluate the impact, not our intent. Because the impact, even if we started with just innocent motives, if our intent was fine, the reality is the impact can be pretty serious. In fact, if we just took a look at, like sexual content alone, right? There's a lot of, you know, bad places that this can lead us to. But if we just looked at sexual content alone, one study I read this week showed that 70% of adolescents 15 to 17 years old and 72% of college students reported accidental exposure to pornographic material online before the age of 18. And the data then goes to show that exposure to this kind of material at an early age, it leads to a whole host of other problems and sexual behaviors. It leads to a whole host of other problems later on in adolescence and later on in life. Okay? And whether it's this kind of activity or some of the other stuff, here's what one of the greatest leaders in the Jesus movement said about this kind of stuff. His name is Paul. I would call him the Apostle Paul. And he's writing a letter to his protege, Timothy. And here's what he says. Listen, he writes to Timothy, "Flee from the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness and faith and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Flee from this stuff. One translation that I read, I liked. One translation says, run from anything that stimulates these kind of unhealthy desires and behaviors. Run from it. Okay? Notice Paul doesn't say, you know, hey, Timothy, be careful, man. He doesn't say, hey, you know, just want you to think twice about some of this stuff. He doesn't say, well, maybe just a little bit, right? As long as you didn't mean to. No, he says, run, flee from anything that's going to stimulate this stuff in you. Flee from anything that is going to lead you in the opposite direction of God and what God desires from you. Run from it. So friends, if your innocent intentions online are maybe, just maybe, having harmful impact in your life or in your marriage or in your parenting or in your career or maybe even in your heart, then consider, I'm asking you, consider then what parts of social media you maybe need to cut out of your life so that you can create space for God in your life this year. Friends, while a total fast from social media, right? We fast from food or other activities sometimes, which means we just don't do it, right? While a total fast from social media could be a really, really, really good thing for you to do, for you to consider, while that could be great, I'm not necessarily gonna, you know, tell you that's what you need to do. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. But here's the deal. The average American spends 2 hours and 14 minutes on social media every day, okay? Not just online or on a screen. Those numbers are a lot closer to 7 hours a day, okay? Just on social media alone, average American spends 2 hours and 14 minutes, okay? That's 2 hours of additional heartache every day that you were not meant to carry. That's 2 hours of potential loneliness and isolation that you just were not designed for. That's 2 hours every day of temptation that could lead you to, that could pull you to a direction or a place that you did not want to be or that you did not intend to be. And so what if instead we took those 2 hours that we spent carrying the burdens of the, you know, tragedy on the other side of the world? And what if we just helped carry the burden of the single mom who lived across the street? Or the burdens of you know, the coworker or, you know, the classmate that was just on the other side of the conference room or the classroom? What if instead we took the 2 hours that we, you know, spent, you know, commenting on threads online? Or what if we took the 2 hours that we, you know, spent, you know, scrolling through pictures of people that we don't really know? And what if instead we invested into the life of somebody that we do know and that we do see every day? What if we invited them into our home or just into our life? What if we prayed for them and with them? And what if we asked them to do the same for us? What if we encouraged their family and encouraged their marriage and allowed them to do the same for us? What if we took those 2 hours that we spent exposing ourselves to content online that is maybe indecent or unhealthy? And what if instead we exposed ourselves to more of God's word? What if we spent even one of those hours reading scripture or some kind of other, you know, faith-based input? What if God's word, what if scripture, what if it became a gateway activity to more of the life that God had planned for us, to a more faithful, to a more hopeful, to a more generous, to a more purposeful, to a more joy-filled life? Friends, I'm not telling you how to spend your time. Because I don't know your day-to-day life. I don't know what you got to do and how you got to do it. I'm not telling you how to spend your time. But what if 2 hours a day? What if even 1 hour a day? What if even 30 minutes a day invested somewhere else? What if it could start to change the world? What if it could start to change your world? Or what if it could even start to change your heart? Then I'd say it's worth considering. In the fresh start that the month of January provides for us, it could be the best time to begin creating more space for God this way. In the new year. And so I'm gonna close in prayer right now that God might help us to do just that. Let me pray. God, we really do give you thanks for this place, a chance to gather with others, to open our hearts, to open your word, God, a chance to give thanks to you for who you are. We don't take for granted the opportunity that we have to be here together. And God, we really do give you thanks for some of the amazing technological advancements that you know we are experiencing. God, how amazing, God, that you created us to be smart enough and innovative enough to create some of the things that we do, that we get to experience. God, we give you thanks for that because that's pretty cool. But God, I also pray that you would help us know how best to use some of those things, some of those tools in our life, God. God, would you help us to evaluate the difference between our intent and the impact that certain things we do have in our lives, God? Would you help us to understand that there's a difference between what we intended to do and the impact that something has in our life? And God, would you and you alone, would you help us to know how and when and where, God, to dial back? God, would you help us to know where we need to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on some of this kind of online activity? God, there's some amazing ways that we can connect with people that we are grateful for, God. But would you help us to know in our life, God, not in our neighbor's life, not in our friend's life, God, would you help us to know in our life where we need to pump the brakes online so that we might experience more of you, so we might hear your voice more in the coming year. God, would you help us to do that? We pray these things too. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.